President Rex Jarrett currently serves as the president of the Twin Falls, Idaho Temple. That temple will be dedicated in August, later this year. President Jarrett has served the church in many, many capacities, including as a bishop, stake president, as a regional representative, Area 70 for the Idaho area, as president of the Philippines Manila Mission. He also served as a general authority and in the presidency of the Philippines area for a number of years. He was sustained as a member of the Second Quorum of the 70 in October of 2002 and was released in November last year when President Hinckley called him to be president of the Twin Falls Temple. President Jarrett attended Utah State University, and he is a renowned dairy farmer in the Burley, Idaho area. He's been inducted into the Idaho Dairy Hall of Fame, the Southern Idaho Livestock Hall of Fame, and in 94 he was recognized as the Conservation Farmer of the Year. This is a man who knows farming. We're grateful to have President Jarrett and his wife Marjorie here with us today. They have 9 children, 40 grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren.
It's a wonderful honor and experience for me to come and visit with you wonderful young people here this day. It's a compliment to have you come out of that beautiful sunshine and come in here and listen to me. I want to tell you this tan you see here is not a sunburn, it's a windburn. It's an honor to be here with President Clark, President Kim Clark, and his wife Sue. How we appreciate the great work that they do here. Also an honor to see Elder Hammond of the 70 here on the stand. The other stake presidents are here and leaders. How we appreciate the work that they do. And you members, the faculty, and all who help us, and you wonderful young people. Young people, I'm looking in the eyes of those who are the future of the church. How grateful we are for you. And the standards you hold will be appreciated and followed throughout this country and the world as you live by your standards. I'm grateful to have my dear wife, not only my best friend, but my eternal companion on the stand today. My daughter Darlene and 3 of our grandchildren. We didn't bring them all because they would have filled the whole east or the right side here. But I'm grateful to have them here today. Each of you are very special. I hope you say that in your mind. This is a wonderful time to live. We live in a very busy, complicated world. Each of you are a very important part of your surroundings. You are not here by chance. You have a divine purpose, and each of you have a great work to do. The Lord knows each of you. He loves you, and He will bless you. Each of you have a special mission to fulfill while you're here in this mortal life. Young people, this is a life to perform your labors. The time to prepare to meet God, it is a short time. How I remember when I was your age. Where has the last 50 years gone? Life moves very fast when you are having fun, and I've had a wonderful life. Sister Jarrett and I have enjoyed a wonderful 52 years together. In the opening statement by the First Presidency in the For Strength Youth booklet, you read this, "Our beloved young men and young women, we have great confidence in you. You are choice spirits who have come forth in this day when the responsibilities and the opportunities as well as the temptations are the greatest. I know this is true. You are choice spirits. I have confidence in you as you make this world a better place. You are not alone as you faithfully pray and study and follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You will feel the blessings of heaven lift, prompt, and protect you. Our Heavenly Father has established His plan to help you succeed. That plan is simply beautiful, but beautifully simple. Jesus Christ came to this earth to carry out our Father's plan. Our Heavenly Father knows that we are human and imperfect, and we will make some mistakes. Agency is an essential part of that divine plan. The responsibility of making right choices rests with each of you and me. According to the plan, Adam brought temporal and spiritual death into the world. Christ has ransomed us from the effects of physical death. We will all live again. His atonement provides the way for us to repent, make needed changes, make right choices, and receive eternal life. This is our choice. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the foundation upon which redemption rests. Life is not an experiment, as some would lead you to think. There is not time in our mortal life to experience all of the mistakes, nor all the philosophies of men, in our process of learning and living. We need to learn and grow from the success of others. We do not need to reinvent the wheel. Many who do this are ending up with a flat tire. I encourage each of you to go to your Father in heaven, our dearest friend, in prayer each day. Pour out your heart to Him. Talk to Him. Acknowledge your blessings and seek for divine guidance as you make your daily choices. Brother Truman Madsen says this about prayer. There may be things that we are unworthy to do at times in our life, but there is one thing we are never unworthy to do, and that is pray. You go to the Lord regardless of the condition of your soul, and He will respond. He never closes the door against you. You may close it against Him, but if so, that is your initiative, not His. We should call upon Him when we need Him most, and that's usually when we feel the least worthy. And then He can respond. Prayer will change a person's heart faster than anything else. The scriptures studied each day will add understanding and spiritual uplift to us. In Moroni 10, 3 and 5, Moroni tells us to study, ponder, and pray with the promise, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of all things. You will recall in Doctrine and Covenants 9, section 7, 8, the Lord counseling Oliver Cowdery, who desired to translate and was disappointed when he could not. Behold, you have not understood. You have supposed that I would give it unto you, when you took no thought, save it was to ask me. But behold, I say unto you that you must study it out in your own mind. Then you must ask me if it be right. And if it be right, I will cause your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore ye shall feel that is right. He also tells Oliver in verse 9, but if it be not right, you shall have no such feelings, but you shall have a stupor of thought, meaning we should forget it or change our plan. In all dispensations, the Lord has appointed and called living prophets to guide His people. I testify to you that President Thomas S. Monson is that prophet today. I'm sure that we all have felt and felt during our recent general conference the spirit and power the Lord has given President Monson. On a hill overlooking this college is the beautiful Rexburg Temple, the Lord's holy house. There we are taught and instructed about life and salvation revealed to the Lord by the Lord to his prophets. President Howard W. Hunter said on one occasion, "All of our efforts in proclaiming the gospel, perfecting the saints, and redeeming the dead lead us to the holy temple. This is because the temple ordinances are absolutely crucial. We cannot return to God's presence without them." Irregardless of your individual timing to receive your temple blessings, you can and should always, every day, be temple worthy. This will always add value and purpose to your life. Through my personal and church experiences, I have come to understand a simple formula that brings success in all of our endeavors. I call them the five pillars of success. They are desire, faith, obedience, hard work, and gratitude. I would like to comment briefly about these pillars of success. Number one, desire. Because we know who we are, because we know the purpose of this mortal life and our eternal existence, we each need to establish a strong, unwavering desire to succeed in our spiritual and temporal lives. We ourselves must do that. That determination should quicken your stride, create a brighter sparkle in your eyes. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf talks about desire in his life. President Uchtdorf was born in Czechoslovakia and grew up in West Germany. He learned Russian, but he said, "My mouth was not made for English." Young Dieter made almost daily bike rides to the Frankfurt airport. He'd watch the jets coming in and imagine himself in the cockpit of one of those big birds. Becoming a pilot was his dream. Then he learned he needed to know English to captain a commercial aircraft. He said, "Overnight, my mouth changed." Said President Uchtdorf, "I was able to learn English." Why? Because the right motivation and desire. He would go on to become a senior vice president for flight operations and chief pilot of Lufthansa German Airlines. We should always desire to follow the admonition of our Savior when he asked, "What manner of man ought you to be?" He answered by saying, "Verily I say unto you, even as I am." Each of you has so much you can give to the world, and the world desperately needs your contribution. Your inward desire will overcome Satan's greatest distractions of false pride, low self-esteem, and discouragement. Your strong desire will add octane to your daily pursuit of happiness and success. Number two, faith. Let's start with the example of Nephi in 1 Nephi 3, 5, and 7. "And now behold, thy brothers murmur, saying, is a hard thing which I have required of them. But behold, I have not required it of them, but it is a commandment of the Lord. Therefore, go, my son, and thou shalt be favored of the Lord, because thou hast not murmured." And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them. Nephi's faith has strengthened my faith to move forward throughout many endeavors and experiences in my spiritual and temporal life. Faith is the first principle of the gospel. Faith brings salvation. Miracles are wrought by faith. By faith, worlds were made. Soon after we were married, I was called to be the ward clerk. I will always remember how timid and frightened I was to come off the stand, walk through the congregation, and count those attending. This was real fear for me. I have learned since there's no room in your mind for fear and faith at the same time. I have learned since that even though we may not feel capable or qualified to adequately fulfill our assignments and challenges, that if we are humble, prayerful, and exercise our faith, we will receive the Lord's blessings to accomplish His will. Through my church assignments, my occupation, and more importantly, the rearing of our 9 children, we have pondered, we have prayed and worked hard. How do we help them go on missions? How do we help them get their educations, be married in the temple, and help each get their little family started? Well, the Lord has blessed us to see this take place. And now as a grandpa and a grandma, we're exercising our prayers, still talking about the same things. Hard work and faith for those blessings to come in the lives of our 45 grandchildren. And Christ hath said, if ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God, for he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men, the same today, tomorrow, and forever. I testify that I have witnessed the power and miracles that come through the power of faith. I am a simple man. However, the Lord has witnessed to me miracles in the magnitude that make the parting of the Red Sea no mystery to me. Number 3, obedience. Obedience is the first law of heaven. I, the Lord, am bound when ye do what I say. But when ye do not what I say, ye have no promise. Obedience will never be a challenge to us in the big issues if we learn to be obedient in the simple and ordinary things. There is a law irrevocably decreed in the heaven before the foundation of this world upon which all blessings are predicated. And when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated. Search these commandments, for they are true and faithful, and the prophecies and promises which are in them shall all be fulfilled. What I, the Lord, have spoken, I have spoken, and I excuse not myself. And though the heavens and the earth may pass away, my word shall not pass away, but shall all be fulfilled, whether by my own voice or the voice of my servants, it is the same. When Elder Robert D. Hales was a graduate student working to a Master of Business Administration at Harvard University, he was called to be the elders president. In his heart, Elder Hales was willing to be obedient, and he accepted the call. but he knew how hard it would be to assume the added responsibility and activity of being the elders president, even beyond the intensity of his graduate program. He also knew he needed to talk it over with his wife, Mary. The Hales family lived in an apartment with their two small children. As they discussed the call, they knew it would be extremely difficult for Robert to keep up with his master's program and to serve as the elders' quorum president. However, after much prayer and discussion, Mary said, "I'd rather have an active priesthood holder than a man who holds a master's degree from Harvard. We'll do them both." The next day, when Robert came home from school, he discovered that Mary had walled off a section of the unfinished basement in their apartment. This small space would give Robert a place to study and help them both serve the Lord. Elder Hales said 40 years later, "I put myself in the Lord's hands when I made that decision. That decision was much harder to make than when years later I accepted the call to be an assistant to the 12 and left my business career behind." Some people may have trouble understanding that, but I believe you really show the Lord who you are and what you're willing to become when you make those hard decisions as a young person. Number 4, hard work. There is no such thing as a free lunch, irregardless of what you're told. The greatest plans and intentions will not work unless you work. Your education is not measured by how many years you spend in school or by what you know. It will be measured by what you do with what you know. It takes application and sweat. A great example of this is illustrated in our beautiful hymn, "I Am a Child of God," written by Naomi Randall. In the chorus, she wrote these words, "Teach me all that I must know to live with him someday." When this song was reviewed by President Kimball, he requested that the words be slightly changed. "Teach me all that I must do to live with him someday. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life." To me, press forward means getting up from your prayers, look up, and move your feet. There is no shortcut for hard work. Number 5, our hearts and thoughts should constantly radiate the sincere gratitude for the atoning sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in our behalf. It was he who declared his sacred mission in Moses 1 and 39. "For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." We should always feel and express our gratitude each day for the eternal plan that allows us to know the worth of each soul, to know who we really are, for the reality of our Father in heaven who knows each of us, who loves us, and desires that we return to live with him eternally again. Be grateful for the restoration of the gospel, complete with priesthood keys that give to us power and authority to administer the saving ordinances that are all necessary for us to have eternal life. Be grateful for a living prophet who receives revelation for the church, for our safety and well-being. Always be grateful for loving parents who have sacrificed much to bring us here and have provided for us. May we always express our love personally and in our prayers for our parents. May our hearts always be filled with gratitude to those who have gone ahead to make our journey through life better because their willingness to give and to work hard. May we ever be grateful, even with confusion, conflict, indifference all around us, that we need not be confused. Our destiny is clear and well-defined, and our future is bright. We are assured that the power of the Spirit will be with us to help us be successful in all our righteous endeavors. Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. I express again my love and confidence in you, the young people of the church. You are the finest there is in the whole world. You will succeed as you embrace the pillars of success. In the words of President Thomas S. Monson, do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for power equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be the miracle. Brothers and sisters, I have a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the gospel we find the eternal plan of salvation. May you so live that you'll always be worthy to enter his holy house. May you understand that you are a wonderful generation, a generation raised up at this very time when the world needs each of you to do that which you can and will do with the help of our Heavenly Father. Again, thank you very much. I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.